I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
It was a defensive exercise.
Yeah, best defense is a good offense. Or is it the other way around?
Welcome to Prattle World. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to another edition of Secret Defenders, where I task my guests to defend their favourite movies that are underrated, infamous, or obscure. Welcome back, guys, and welcome to a very special edition of Secret Defenders, where we're going to look at something a little bit different, something that I don't usually, this is not usually in my wheelhouse, but I brought an absolute expert on this subject. Gary Dixon,
hello.
How the hell are you?
Hi. What's a wheelhouse?
My house of wheels that I just, it's like a collection. You just have a collection of different wheels from, you know, you got your wheelbarrows, you got your trucks, you got your, any form of wheels, just like old ones, wagon wheels, you know, all sorts. love a good wagon wheel. The jammy ones?
So jam wagon wheel.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. Were they the blue packet? Was the red?
Yeah, and then the red one was the plain one.
But that's confusing to me because it's
red
blue.
Should be jam.
Yeah, red should be jam. It's like ready salt. It's like the Walker's crisps. Like they do
ready
the opposite.
Salt. What colour salt?
Cheese and onion was blue. But that's usually like related to salt and vinegar because of the sea.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
And then ready salt was red.
Yeah.
And then don't eat them.
Yeah.
Because they're the worst.
Don't touch them. They're so, so plain. So I brought you on, Gary.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about, like I said, I usually talk about weird and wacky films. The last one we talked about on this show was an alien. Featuring an alien orgy. You should probably watch that.
We all like a good alien orgy.
Don't we all? So today we're going to talk about Spice World.
Yes, we are.
Feature film featuring the worldwide phenomenon pop group known as the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
So, and you're a big fan, aren't you?
I am a big fan. A very big fan since they came out back in the day, back in 96.
In 96?
Yeah.
So long time ago.
20 or so years ago. It's a long time.
Oh, yeah. And like, watching the film and kind of listening to the songs again, just like, even, like, I'm not really the demographic for the Spice Girls, to be fair. I'm not the box that they would be ticking, like, because I was like, yeah, I'm not really into that. You know, I was into all sorts of other boy related rubbish, you know,
just
all
kind of,
yeah. Well, yeah. Even if I was into music, I was probably just reading a Spider-Man comic somewhere, like a loser, like an absolute loser. But I brought you on because I mean, I'd never seen Spice World. My sister was a huge fan back in the 90s. She had the video game, the very odd video game,
the PlayStation 1. It was great, yeah. They had very big heads,
massive heads. They just looked like they were like someone had just like
they're like
ballooned their head,
yeah, they're like dancing bobbleheads,
yeah, they were great. A bit like that, yeah.
It was literally 0 point to the game,
yeah.
Apart from making them dance.
Yeah, there was no, and I don't think there was any progression to the game.
No, that was the point of the game. It was just to literally follow the steps and make them dance. It was like a very early dance step.
Yeah,
a dance.
It kind of reminded me of, do you remember Parappa the Rapper? Do you remember that?
No, but I feel like I should invest.
Yes, that was kind of like, it was a weird rapping game. It was like the early kind of Guitar Hero type rhythmical games.
Yeah.
Those kind of dance machine sort of things. So that was really interesting. But yeah, my sister played all the songs, so I recognize a lot of the songs from the film. At least the choruses, anyway.
Yeah,
big kind of choruses, you know, Wannabe and Two Become One and Viva Forever and all the ones that, you know, I was just like, my God, I know these, and I haven't heard them for about 20 years.
They filter through into everyone's consciousness. Like even now, like when you hear them, you know, like everyone knows Wannabe. I know that song. Even if they don't know the words, they'll know like Zigga Zigga.
Yeah, even if they don't know that it's by the Spice Girls, you'll probably know.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, there's going to be some people who've lived under a rock or maybe were born after the Spice Girls phenomenon.
I think if people don't know the Spice Girls, they know the individuals. Like everyone knows Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, he's,
you know, Mel B, Married Eddie Murphy. Ginger Spice. I think when you say Ginger Spice, people know what you're talking about.
No, let's start at the beginning. Let's start, before we go on to the film, let's start right from the beginning. answer me this. Who are the Spice Girls? Just to anybody who doesn't know.
Okay, so the Spice Girls, basically, I'll give you a bit of background.
Yeah.
Just a quick one. So there was an advert put in the stage way back when saying we're looking for a band, so we're going to put this band together. Because predominantly at the time, 90s, it was the Britpop, so Blur, Oasis, all that kind of stuff.
And then a bit of pulp.
Yeah, yeah. It was all that vibe, wasn't it? Especially over here. And then I think in the US, you had a lot of boy bands. You had like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. We'd had Take That, and they kind of
through.
So I think there was kind of a market. So I think these managers were looking for a band, like a girl band. So three of the girls, Mel B, Mel C, and Victoria, just went along. They got through to a band that was made up. Joey came along later. She missed the audition, apparently, and just turned up and showed her face and went, I want to be in this band. And her personality...
Very ballsy.
Yeah.
And I think that is Joey.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think now we all know... Well, people that do know Joey, they know her ballsy, bullshit character. It basically just got her into the band. And then I think Emma Bunsen joined a little bit later on. She'd gone through stage school when she was young.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they'd all moved into a house together.
Nice.
So yeah, and I think in the early days, they kind of lived together, lived in a house. They were kind of molding this kind of band that they wanted to be. I think they were living in a house for a while, and then the managers that got them together, they didn't really like, so they just did a moonlight flit in the middle of the night.
So they just, well, they just ran.
Yeah, they just literally took all their stuff, left this house, got in a car, and they just literally went to all these management companies and were like, you know, you need to sign us, we're the next big thing.
Had they signed a contract with that particular person? Or?
I think they signed some kind of contract, but I don't think it was official enough to kind of keep them within
I think. It wasn't like legally binding.
I think they went around a few people, and then they got Simon Fuller, who ended up being their manager, and I think they kind of signed him out of whatever contract they were in. And then in 96 they released Wannabe. And then
the rest is history.
I
think so.
Wannabe blew up.
Now you're a touch older than me, aren't you, just a little bit?
To be ageist.
No, just like statistically speaking.
Yes, I'm 36.
36. So I think you were probably more of the kind of age where, like, how old would you have been when the Spice Girls were in their zenith?
I was 14 when they came out.
14.
I think they were kind of around like 3 to 4 years. Mm. 2 years was when they were at the big. So yeah,
I'm probably about 10, maybe. Yeah. I guess eight, nine. So yeah, I probably wasn't like your experience of the Spice Girls is very probably quite different to mine.
Oh yeah, because they were in my teen heyday. I think that, you know, I was 14, 15. I was kind of just coming into my own.
Yeah.
You kind of start looking at the world and seeing things and deciding what you like.
Yeah.
And
what you're into.
Yeah. And the Spice Girls. Yeah. And the Spice Girls just kind of, they literally came like a whirlwind out of nowhere. Mm. Like, one minute they weren't there, the next minute the whole world knew what Spice World was.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they
became a Spice World.
Well, it was. It was just like a traveling family, and everyone was invited. Like, they just grabbed the nation.
Mm.
They really just got hold of. I think there was just a point in the market, and there was something in the country
void.
At that time.
Some void that they filled.
And they definitely filled it, yeah. And it was phenomenal. It was crazy, like, what they achieved, what they did. And in such a short space of time, I think people didn't realize that their zenith. They were around for about 4 years.
Yeah, initially, roughly, yeah.
But it was 2 years when they were at their, like,
their height of their powers.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, there was the 90s were quite a, you know, turbulent time. There was a lot of change. I think the other day when we were speaking about this, you were talking about, like, New Labour was coming in.
Yeah, because I think there was a whole thing. Yeah, because it was New Labour, the things can only get better. Whereas, you know, we'd come out of, like...
It's going to change. Everything's going to be changed. Everything's going to be better.
Yeah, because you've had the 80s.
The millennium is coming, you know.
Yeah, because you've had all the bad stuff that had happened. And then the 90s, it was all, like, reinvention and new. And, I think the Spice Girls just came out of time when, you know, like I said, the millennium was coming. So things were all going to change as well, and they just really caught the nation.
Yeah, like, I think you were telling me the other day that they were, or today even, were, that they, you know, they broke America, which is not an easy thing to do either.
Yeah, I mean, I think to put it in context, like, because people think, oh, the Spice Girls, whatever, but I do have a few facts.
Okay,
so let's put it into context how big
they were.
So they've sold over 80 million worth of worldwide record sales. Jeez. They are the biggest selling girl band in the UK. Their first album Spice and their first single Wannabe and the Spice World are the top biggest albums that there have been by a girl band.
Really? Wow.
To now.
Yeah.
They had 9 UK number ones, 6 collectively in a row. They had three Christmas number ones. So Wannabe, like we said, it was released in July of 96. Mm. Sold over 7 million copies worldwide, and it was the biggest selling debut single by a girl band. Made its number one in America, which, you know, never happened. And it also made its number one in 22 countries.
Yeah.
The debut album, Spice, sold 23 million copies, and it was number one in over 17 countries.
Jesus.
Spice World, the follow-up album, sold 13 million and went to number one in 13 countries. And their tour at the height of their success in 98 sold out 58 days from across the world and made over 60 million, which at the time
was
quite a lot. So I think
it's huge.
When you think about it, statistically, what they did, they were massive.
They were huge.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you think about their personalities, their, you know, their skills as performers or writers or, you know, musicians, you've got to respect those kind of numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, no matter what, like, that's crazy. Those are crazy numbers.
And they haven't been matched since Fair Girl. I mean, I know you get, like, some good girls now, but, yeah, they really just took it to another level. And, I mean, I don't even think they...
Well, that's another band to record
together. Yeah, I know. Victoria worked with Dane Bowers.
Oh, yes. The Marvel team-up that everybody wanted.
Yeah.
Churned out not so great a song.
Number two. Oh, yeah.
How did that go? I can't remember.
You're out of your mind.
Oh, that was it. Oh, it's all auto-tuned.
Yeah, it got the number two.
God, that's awful.
She didn't get her number one.
Yeah. I mean, I can't sing that well.
That's about the thing I'm gonna do for
you. Do you have a favorite song by the Spice Girls?
Oh, see, I like them.
That hard.
Yeah, because I like them for different reasons. Obviously, everyone loves Wannabe because it was huge. You know, it's the thing that got them started. I remember the first time I saw Wannabe, it was this one of them digital channels called The Box. You know, it used to phone in for your videos that you used to see on one of these Sky channels that you used to have.
Maybe.
And I saw that for the first time, and I just remember it was like these five...
I mean, something called The Box nowadays might be something else entirely.
Yeah.
One of those phone lines you call in. God, yeah. Hello. Babe station thing.
I didn't see them on that, although Jerry, you know, did a bit of
she did a bit of glamour photography
back in the day.
And there's a few gags in Spice World that kind of allude to that.
They do nod to it. It's very tongue-in-cheek.
Fair enough. But you don't have a particular, there's not one that kind of like preferred to like dance to, or is the one to kind of sit and mellow out to, or...
Again, I think it's all different, because like I said, when Wannabe happened, it was just huge, and it was these five girls running from a hotel just being crazy.
That video is really in your face as well. It's literally like a kind of a steady cam, isn't it? They're like jumping into the camera, like almost headbutting the camera.
It was made to look like it was one take, but it was done in two. But it was essentially following around. And I mean, I think it was done pretty fast. I don't think there was.
Yeah, it looks like kind of guerrilla filmmaking, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was. And they were wearing their own outfits. You know, there wasn't any stylist there.
Yeah,
it was just them,
hair,
being there.
Or anything.
So I remember seeing that and thinking, wow. But
that's very kind of like, that's like independent film, isn't it? You've got to kind of grab people's attention. I think it really did. And the music as well.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it was just, I saw it and then they were just everywhere. Like, because when I went to number one here, they were already in Japan, promoting in Japan.
Of course they were. Like, everybody's big in Japan. Literally everything is a big
so, like, Wannabe is always like, everyone loves Wannabe. And I think it's the one that everyone remembers. If you say Spice Girls, say Wannabe. But then I think you had like, Who Do You Think You Are?
Yeah.
Which is a great one to go down. Yeah. And again, the Brits, everyone remembers Jerry Halliwell in the Union Jack Dre.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's blazoned over their big bus as well.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, good old ginger hair, bosoms.
I mean, yeah. Like, do you think, I mean, nowadays we're living in a very kind of feminist world, feminist, you know, women fighting for their rights and being, you know, being in places of power, being in creatively. There's like Big Little Lies on Sky is, you know, written, produced, directed purely by women and things like that. You know, the music industry, and we've obviously had a lot of kind of horrible kind of goings on in the music industry and the film industry
that is kind of
prevalent to that as well. But do you think they did something for this new wave of feminism?
Yeah, definitely. I think they paved the way. I mean, I think obviously there were feminists before.
Yeah, of course.
But I think
they didn't originate girl power.
Yeah, I mean, I think they coined it. And
threw
it into the public agenda.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I think girl power. Yeah, it was just because that's all you heard, wasn't it? Girl power, and they were promoting this message. And I think they just encouraged young teenage girls to go out there and be yourself. I think because, like I said, you'd had all these boy bands and people, and girls were like fancying them, and guys or whoever.
Want to be them.
But like, I think they were like, these were five girls who just came from normal backgrounds, like Melby was was from Leeds, Joey was from Watford.
Yeah.
You know, these were just like normal people who just kind of had a dream to make it big. And they said, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to push this as far as we can. Mm. We're going to be ourselves. And I think that's what people picked up onto. Yeah. I think it's like, actually, these girls can do this. Mm. You know, they can push themselves out there. They can make these dreams happen.
Yeah.
And I think they didn't encourage girls to be out there in a negative way. They didn't sexualize themselves too much. They were very tongue-in-cheek with their sexuality.
Yeah.
But I think they kind of...
It was almost like, in the film, it's very much like a kind of carry-on situation. It's always like, matron, that kind of,
definitely,
that kind of British tongue-in-cheek.
I remember they used to say, like,
raunchy.
Yeah. I think I remember when they said, like, you know, they said to girls, if you want to go and wear a booty top, then you go and wear one. But you don't have to do it for the boys. You got to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
You want to feel good about yourself. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be pleasing other people, because if you're strong and you're together. And I think they actually promoted this togetherness and, you know, girls standing up for each other. It wasn't, you know, like girls picking on each other. They weren't like, put each other down. They're actually
raising each other up.
And, and again, I think it filtered into, you know, like, I think like the film touched on, you know, like they were in, I suppose, a gay bar.
Quite prevalent gay bar,
You know, and it's the Spice Girls and the gay community, like, are up there.
Huge, I can imagine.
You know, as a gay person myself, they had a very big impact on, you know, me growing up as a teenager.
Okay.
Especially at the time for myself, like, I was 14, I hadn't come out then, and but like, yeah, like I said, these girls are like, you know, be strong, be who you are, be confident.
Yeah.
You know,
don't let anybody judge
you. You know, you can be who you want. And I think I definitely fed into that, and I definitely felt that. And again, it's, I think the reason why Spice Girls have such you know, a drive towards them, or such passion about them, because they represent a time in my life where I did go through a lot of change.
Yeah.
And I came out during the Spice Girls, essentially, like, you know, the biggest
time. During their time. Yeah.
And like, again, it's the message that they had. It was like, you know, you can be strong, you can be who you are, you don't need someone to tell you you can't be you. And I know a lot of, I mean, I think a lot of my friends who are similar age as me, we all had the same kind of memories of the Spice Girls. We were like, you know, there were these strong girls telling you to be confident. You know, like, I think when watching the film, we hinted that Joey's look was kind of very drag-esque. It was
the top. It's like, she's got very thin kind of eyebrows, almost like painted on eyebrows. Like
The
makeup and the hair.
Hair's bigger, the boobs are bigger. Yeah. And, you know, and
very
glamorous, And again, I think, you know, obviously I can't speak for every gay person.
No.
I know a lot of my friends, and I know for myself, they definitely helped me through a time when actually, back then, it wasn't as okay to be gay as now. Like, when I was in high school, like, I got picked on, I got bullied, you know, I got bottled on a bus once, I got stabbed in the street. So that was still at a time when people were starting to come under more understanding.
Yeah.
I remember being at school, and I think I had like a Spice Girls badges on my bags and stuff. And like, my headmaster took me into the office once and was like, we've never had a gay person in school. We've never had anyone do this before. Yeah. So we don't know how to react. I mean, I think the only thing was just let me not do games. I was like, just get me out of games.
I don't want to change in front of all the other people.
I don't want all that.
Fair enough. But, to be fair, even if you were straight, there's still always.
No one wants to do that.
They're always like, when I was at high school, they were always like, right, everyone get in the showers. Literally, no one would go in the showers. And if you did go in the showers, they would make fun of you, pop their heads over, go, oh, look at your tiny knob. You know, things like that. Just
feel, did you go to?
I'm from Blackpool, mate.
Oh, Blackpool.
Rough as shit.
One word.
Exactly. So it didn't, in that way, everyone thought everybody was gay, and everyone worried that everyone might be gay or something like that. But yeah, that must have been horrendous around that time.
I kind of like gloss over it now, because I think times moved on as an adult, but I think at the time it was hard.
Yeah.
But then again, you've got these, you know, four girls who are representing you, and they're representing your community, and they're saying, you know, you can be proud, you can do this, you can be yourself. And I think they really just, again, they gripped a nation, and I think they just gave a message that people needed to hear. I think people needed a sense of community, people wanted to be together. We were going, you know, we were heading towards the millennium.
Yeah.
The world was going to change. You know, we had the, you know, the millennium, everyone was going to change.
Yeah,
and I think they were just kind of spearheading the way forward. And I think they did.
And I think that's really quite kind of responsible of them as well, because they had this fame, they had this popularity. However, they could have just easily just sat back, played it safe, and just raked in all that money.
Yeah.
But they had a message, and since the whole country was in love with them, why not promote a message of kind of peace, understanding, equality?
And I think, and they never hid who they were. I mean, they were very honest, like, you know, they always said, like, we're working class girls.
Yeah.
You know, we've come from backgrounds, we know what life's like, we've not had it handed to us on a plate. You know, and I think they never apologized for being themselves. And I think that fed into their music, and it fed into the way they were. I think they all had a different personality.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that's probably what kind of separates them from kind of a regular kind of boy band or girl band, or even regular kind of just like musicians and stuff. Cause you could tell them apart. They're all very distinct. They all have their own style and dress. And like you said, their own personality, and that kind of shines through.
Yeah. And I think people could identify. I think there was one, it was who's your favorite Spice Girl? Who do you identify with? Remember, like in magazines, these quizzes, like, which Spice Girl are you?
Yeah. It's like Sex and the City. Are you a Carrie?
Exactly. And I think everyone had the favorite, and everyone wants to be like a certain one. A lot of the younger girls want to be Baby Spice, you know, the pigtails. Because like the names originally came along, they didn't have like the Baby Sports or Ginger Park. Who missed?
Scary, Sporty, Ginger, Baby, Pop.
It was originally a magazine in the UK, Top of the Pops magazine, and they had a centerfold, and it was, the Spices.
Yeah.
On a Spice Rack, and they had their face on each one, and they had like Scary, Sporty, Ginger, Posh.
Oh, right. Did they know that? They must have known their names. They must have known their like actual names.
Yeah, of course.
These were like nicknames.
I think, and that, it kind of fitted their personality. Yeah. You know, you've got Emma Bunton, Baby Spice. She was like the young bubbly one. Victoria, Posh, you know, very elegant.
Yeah.
Mel C, Sporty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Mel B, Scary, Loud, and Jerry. Yeah. Ginger was the hair. I think they fed into that. I think they were elements of themselves. Yeah. I think it was a parody of them, but I think it was more of an extension of themselves. It wasn't fake. It was it was them, and they were them people, and we could all kind of see ourselves in one of them. Like you know, we all like to identify as, you know. I remember like chats, I'm more like Ginger and you're a bit more like Scary, but I've got a bit of this in me. Well, I'm sure some guys are like,
Depends what your favorite. One of the main things that kind of like what drew me to like the Spice Girls to my attention more, was I was in primary school. I was kind of coming to the end of primary school, and there was a girl I quite liked in primary school, and they would always put on these kind of, you know, they'd like do a dance and like sing to the Spice Girls, and they would all be like one of them. The girl I really fancied was like Scary Spice, and she was like, must have been like 6-7 inches taller than me, and I was just like, just like an absolute kind of glamazon. I was very attracted to her, so I was like, yeah, Spice Girls are all right now, I think. They'll do.
I think everyone liked them. I think they had an appeal to everyone. I think like mums like them, dads like them, because you know they're looking at the women, the young boy. You know, everyone liked them. I think they had that universal appeal, whether you like the music or not.
Yeah,
and you knew who they were because they were everywhere. Like, you couldn't literally look anywhere without seeing the Spice Girls. They literally ingrained themselves, especially in the UK.
Oh, definitely.
You know, they promote, you know, they did Walker's Chris, they did Impulse, they were just Pepsi.
Big one. Yeah, Pepsi was a big one. I remember there was like an ad, and they're kind of flying around or something, kind of like superheroes all kind of in black leather. I remember one of the videos was them in the kind of in the desert, and they're throwing like weapons at this kind of glass stuff. Was that the video?
Yeah.
Was that the same video?
No, the same over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right. You're the expert. Not me. That's why I've got
the video.
That's all good. Actually, I don't think you'll find it was that video.
It was.
It's fair enough. You were talking about identifying with the Spice Girls. Yeah. Did you identify with a particular one, and why was that?
Yeah, Jerry. I think she was just so confident and so self-assured, and there was just something about her that really drew me to her. I mean, obviously I like the red hair. I was natural ginger.
Natural ginger, fair enough.
But I think she just really, she knew who she was as a person, and she didn't apologize for who she was, and she was very articulate with her words, and she was very smart. And I think she was the driving force behind the band. I mean, I know they all had their input, and I don't think the band would have been one without the other, but I think she definitely pushed it to another level of where it needed to be.
She just seemed like a natural kind of marketer, promoter. She seemed very quite verbose.
You are. And I think, especially for me, I was a very quiet teenager. So when the Spice Girls came out, I was that little nerdy guy who stayed at home playing on his games, read books, didn't really have any friends. And I think she had the attributes that I kind of wanted in myself. You know, she was like,
so it's almost like you didn't necessarily identify, but you wanted to be like her.
And again, I think like the whole Brits performance, like when they, you know, it's iconic now, it's been voted as the most iconic performance of the Brits.
Really?
She was there with this Union Jack dress, out front, out proud. She made that dress from, she had like a Gucci dress, and she got a tea towel. Actually, no, probably bigger than tea towel, but it was a towel. Mm. They just sewed it onto the front.
Really? Was that
now,
it?
Yeah, and that's, and now it's like, I think, and especially with the Spice Girls, that is one of the synonymous images when you say, think of a Spice Girls image. It's, it's iconic.
Yeah.
We, everyone knows it's ingrained into, especially in the UK.
Yeah, definitely.
It's ingrained. Now, I think to just see this woman who was strong and she was proud and unapologetic and so articulate and so confident, and, you know, she openly admitted she wasn't the skinniest person, she wasn't the best singer, but she had heart and she believed in herself. And
passion. She had a lot of passion.
And I think that's definitely what I fed into as a person. And I think the Spice Girls I love, but I have a secret spot for Joey because I think she was the one that helped me as a gay person.
Yeah.
She was the one that I, you know, looked to and I wanted to be like, and I identified with, and I just felt the draw there to her. But obviously I liked them all.
Of course.
You know, Mel C was an amazing singer.
Yeah, yeah. I think Mel C's definitely got the best voice.
Oh, of course. Yeah. She has got a great voice.
Yeah.
My sister always loved Mel B. I think she loved, like, she wanted the big hair.
Yeah.
I remember my sister buying the shoes because back in the 90s.
God,
I think the Spice Girls, again, shoes, they have these like platforms.
Yeah.
With like.
Well, in the movie, they're wearing these, like you said, 6-inch heels or like this big clubby kind of like almost like Danish clogs or something.
I remember my sister used to fall over them so many times. I think my mum binned them. I think she went out once and I think my mum was just sick of them and she threw them away. I remember her going, I'm sick of these, because she always used to like, she used to wear these dresses, again, trying to dress, she was older than me, but she was trying to dress like the Spice Girl. She wore these.
Yeah.
I think I remember going into a club once because she loved Mel B and she had this leopard skin top and she had a pair of like leggings or something, but she put her leopard skin knickers over her leggings and went out like that.
Okay.
And I remember my mum just like, I've had enough of this. And I remember she threw the boots in the bin and then we were never to speak of it again.
I mean, that's it's a unique look. Yeah. I've seen stranger looks.
But again, I think it's that thing, it was dress how you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Do what you want. It's like, if people laugh at you, just walk on by, you know. Yeah. You know.
If you want to, if your bubble happens to be a sports sock, why not?
Yeah. You know? I mean, they had a song called Do It, and it was basically just like, be yourself, you know, do whatever you want to do, you know, be confident, be proud of who you are. And I think that filtered through and it caught there. I mean, the sales in itself kind of.
I mean, to be honest, if you look at the fashion world anyway, there's some weird choices going on.
And if you look at the 90s anyway, like, when we look back at fashion, it's like.
True.
Although it's trendy again now.
Yeah, it's back. Well, I mean, I still think we're rolling high on the kind of 80s stuff at the moment, I think.
No, but 90s.
Is it like 90s coming? Hair, is it creeping back?
I mean, we don't have the hair, but like,
yeah, 90s, exactly.
90s hairs.
I know nothing of fashion. So.
You know, a lot of Adidas wear. I mean, I know Adidas has never gone out, but like, Billabong and.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just, like t-shirts and very grungy gear. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's very in.
A lot of brands. I think most of them probably went out of business, but they probably, or maybe not out of business, but they're probably still about, but in a smaller capacity than what they were, I imagine. But I mean, it's such, like, those stats you were reading off, you know, it kind of shocking to me as well. Like I knew, obviously, I'm aware, you know, I lived through the Spice Girls. It sounds like a war or something.
Yeah. I mean, for some people, it probably was. I think there was probably a lot of people that couldn't wait to see the back of the Spice Girls.
They're like, when's real music going to get back? But again, like you said, they made an impact, like huge, you know, paradigm shift.
And they did things that, like, you weren't supposed to, like when they met Prince Charles, they kissed him on the cheek and pinched his bum. You know, like, they didn't follow any protocol, you know, when they met Nelson Mandela, like, they'd fed so much into the culture. You know, they met the president in America, and again, they broke up
and they got away with it because of these kind of big personalities they had.
It's because it was them.
If it was anybody else, if it was Donald Trump walking up and pinching Prince Charles's ass, well, maybe not so much.
But again, it was like, I think the second album was called Spice World, and we were all invited to the Spice World. Yeah. It was this bubble, and everyone could come along for the ride. And I think we all did. I think for Spice Girls fan, we took that ride with them and literally went full pelt.
Yeah. This film was kind of, like we were talking about, their zenith, the height of their powers. So what kind of happened after that? What was...
So the film came out, so it came out at Christmas of, I think it was 97?
That sounds about right.
So came on the zenith, and then they were riding high. It was off their second album. And again, super confident. Later in the year, they got rid of their manager. Simon Fuller was the manager.
Okay.
Kim Fuller was the co-writer of the film with the Spice Girls. So she was the one that actually wrote the film along with them.
Okay.
Although apparently she didn't let them see any of the scripts.
Okay.
Which we'll probably, you might
that,
say,
yeah. When you... Maybe, yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
So I think they got rid of Simon Fuller. And again, it's this brand of girl power. Like, we can do it. We don't need this man.
Yeah.
Who's
telling us what to do.
Yeah. We can take control of ourselves. Yes. They started their Spice World Tour, mm-hmm. you know, the biggest tour they'd had. They'd done all of the UK. They were going around Europe. And then in May, Jerry left the band.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I remember. So how did that make you feel as a huge fan of Jerry and Spice Girls and the Spice World?
So she left on the officially left on the 31st of May.
Right.
They were due to do a performance on the lottery two or three days before. I can't remember the exact dates. And then four of them came out and they were like, oh, Jerry's not well. Get well soon, Jerry. We hope you're back soon. And then on Monday, a solicitor on the doorstep saying Jerry has left the band.
Wow.
I was devastated.
Yeah.
I think it was just kind of like this whole bubble that I've been in. And I think because Jerry was the one who I invested in or looked up to the most.
Like if anybody else had left, do you think you would have been as devastated?
Not at all. No. Yeah. To me, it's like, because she was the band for me. Like, even though I liked them all, Jerry was the one that made it. And I was just literally devastated. Like, I felt crushed.
It was a very, I remember when I moved to primary schools, it was a very similar vibe because Robbie had left Take That.
Yeah, and they had helplines. And
yeah, it was like
people,
yeah.
Like, people were threatening to like commit suicide.
Yeah, exactly. They were absolutely devastated.
I mean, I wasn't that bad, but like, yeah, I just remember feeling like, I think Adele said this once. I think I heard her say recently, but it was the first time I knew what heartbreak really felt like. Like even like, it was
so just, that's what all the songs are about.
Like, oh yeah, I thought, you know, it was Jerry leaving the Spice World. Yeah, it was. I just felt really crushed. And I think it was just, yeah, it rocked me a bit. It proper did. Like, at the time, I was really, like, devastated. And I think more because I was due to go to the concert later in the year.
Because
they were going to go to America and then come back and do the finale of the concert at the stadiums. Mm. Sheffield was for here because obviously they weren't the biggest stadium.
Yeah,
it's Sheffield and Wembley. So I, because that was my first ever concert as well.
Right.
Never been to a concert. So Spice Girls was my first.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm finally going to get to see Jerry. And again, so when she gone, and there was, and it was just, again, it's that uncertainty, isn't it? Like, I've been riding this Spice World, and then all of a sudden it's like, what's going to happen?
What happened? You know, like you said, she's the driving force. Now she's gone. Will they kind of limp on? Will they?
I mean, they did do successfully for a while.
Yeah.
They continued to finish the tour. They did a Christmas concert tour in the UK. Yeah. They had a few more number one singles afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, so they did well. But I think when Jerry left, that spark had gone.
Yeah.
They were just kind of, you know, and I think it's sad now because I think I've watched loads of interviews of why Jerry's left. And I just remember saying, I don't know. She said like the cogs were spinning, whether it was there or not.
Yeah.
And she just felt like she had to get off. She felt like Ginger Spice had become a parody and she didn't actually know who she was. And now
she was playing a character.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was elements of her, but she felt like Ginger Spice was bigger than Jerry Halliwell.
Yeah.
And I think that's where she was just like, it was going to have, you know, the Spice Girls were going to continue to do whatever they were going to do, whether she was there.
I mean, nowadays we talk a lot about kind of, you know, I've done kind of acting and tours and things like that. And I know the kind of stress of performance and being on the road and not necessarily getting on with the people you work with, but you have to do it. And we talk nowadays about kind of mental health. And there was a point when I was touring at one point, there was a point where I was basically being bullied by the other members of this troupe. And I kind of sat lying in the bath one day and just was like, what if I just drowned? You know, it was a fucking scary moment for me, but I was literally being insulted, abused, hit, you know, all sorts of stuff were going on that tour and it was horrendous. And it was supposed to go on for 6 months. Jesus Christ, I'm glad I only did three.
Yeah, no.
I only did three. But the second I was like, what if I just drowned? I don't think they'd even care. And at that point I was like, right, out the fucking bath, get out of the bath. I'm out of the bath.
And I think she did it on impulse.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've watched interviews later, and I think she was just in that mindset where, like I said, it was happening whether she was there or not. And I think she was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I think after being heartbroken, I was really, again, empowered by it.
Yeah.
It was girl power again. She was embodying that thing as, it's brave to, at the height of your fame, to walk away from something that's huge and say, actually, this doesn't work for me right now.
No, exactly.
And to take
I'm not happy. It's okay to say I'm not happy. And to step, I think there's a lot of talk about people going, oh, you're a quitter, or, you know, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't leave. And that's not the case. If it's not right for you, you do have the right to walk away and you do have the right to stop whatever you don't want to do.
No, definitely. And I think for her to do that is a braver thing than actually staying. I mean, I think initially she said that when they talked about the band, they were only going to do it for 2 years. I think, you know, the pop fame is fickle. I think this we're going to do this for 2 years. We're going to do it as much as we can.
Yeah. Go all out.
And I think she'd had a conversation earlier in the year saying, you know, when this tour ends, we're going to finish at Wembley. We're going to kind of go out on a high.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's viewing now, but I think at the time she told them, like, when this tour's over, I'm going.
Yeah.
But then I think she, you know, I think she just hits a wall. And I think I think now we hear about she had eating disorders and there was mental health. And
exactly,
I think, you know, different girls had different issues.
Yeah, of course.
But at the time, like, it just rocked my world. And I think it changed because I was like...
Were you angry at all at her for leaving?
No, I was just upset. I was devastated that I wasn't going to see her. Like I said, she hasn't died. Like,
no.
We were still this
no,
person.
True, yeah.
And I mean, she, you know, she came out the following year. And she had a solo album out.
She did very well, from what I remember.
She did. She had 4 number one singles in the UK.
There you go.
You know, she covered It's Raining Men.
Yes,
you know, like...
What was that? It was for a film, wasn't it, that one? Was it for...
Was it for Notting Hill?
Love Actually?
Or was it Love Actually?
Something like that.
Them. I mean, she's had the most number ones as a solo artist.
Out of the
Spice Girls, yeah. I mean, I'd say Mel C's probably had the best musical career. But at the time, straight after...
She's done a lot of kind of musical... I think she's done a lot of musical theatre. She did Blood Brothers.
I mean, they've all done well, collectively since.
Like, well, you know, Victoria Beckham, massive.
I mean, on her own, her and David Beckham, they've got a net worth of like 250 million.
There you go.
So I was looking earlier, I think collectively the Spice Girls are worth over 400 million.
She sneezes, you know, in her daily life, that's 250,000 pounds or something like that. It's silly.
You know, fair play to her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think she'd be the first to admit she wasn't also the best musically talented,
but
I mean, she's a brand like Beckham.
Yeah,
you know,
she is. Yeah.
Victoria Beckham.
Like, even if you don't know the Spice Girls or her past, you know Victoria
Beckham. And I guarantee you, people didn't know the Spice Girls, even though I love Jerry. And, you know, I think if you say Victoria Beckham, everyone will know who she is. Or if you say David Beckham, they will know Victoria Beckham. Mm. So,
but I think they all, for the most part, I think they've all done well on their own. I think they've followed kind of Jerry's kind of... I mean, she trailblazed her own path after leaving. And I think they all kind of followed suit to some degree with some success. But they all seem to have done pretty well. Some of them are like, you know, Mel B's judging these different kind of musical shows and talent shows and things.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think we've thought about Mel B, you know, recently.
Yeah.
You know, she got married and she'd had that abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Reportedly lost all the money that she earned.
Jesus.
You know, she dated Eddie Murphy. She's got Eddie Murphy. I mean, she's very big in the American public eye now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's done American Idol. You know, they're all in their own way, they're all famous.
Yeah.
I think nostalgia and we all like to see them together, but
true. Is Emma Bunton, she does kind of radio, is it Heart Radio?
Yeah, she does Heart Radio. Again, absolutely fabulous. She's absolutely fabulous lows, and that's a British institution.
Yeah, true. Well, what's her name?
Jennifer Saunders.
Yeah, she's in the movie. Yeah, she speaks to
Victoria, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She's done a few things. Yeah. And she married him because there was a boy band at the time called Damage.
I think
it was way back.
Yeah.
And I think they did a song called Lots of Love. That was it.
That was
the only song.
Yeah, that's now I know obscure comic book characters, but I know obscure pop.
Oh no,
that's your niche.
Yeah,
that's your niche.
It's a very
Damage. I mean, I could tell you about a character called Damage from a comic book, but I can't tell you about the band.
Yeah, well, she married him, and she's married to him.
Same thing,
you know. And like Jerry now, she's Jerry Horner.
Yeah,
so she married the racing car guy.
Yeah,
forget his name, but yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I've not really heard much about Jerry. No, Jerry's not really been in the limelight so much recently that I can think.
I think she's become like a lady of, she's become like a lady of leisure.
Yeah, fair enough.
She's become that.
She's done the work. She's put her time.
Yeah, she's done a graph. She's a very British lady now, isn't she? Like the days of Union Jack wearing dress Jerry.
Yeah.
But I mean, again.
Glamour photography, you know, it's all behind her now.
But again, like they got back together this year.
Yeah.
Like, they had a UK stadium sellout tour.
Yeah.
It broke Ticketmaster sales for the quickest selling tickets on there. They earned about 50 million, supposedly. I haven't done the actual maths.
No, quote, but yeah.
Earned about 50 million for this tour. I mean, they did it without Victoria.
But she probably doesn't need to do that. Like you say.
But again, it's the legacy of the Spice Girls, isn't it?
Everyone would have liked to have seen her there.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I think she is still a part of the Spice Girls, whether you've seen them with them or not. I mean, there's talks about them doing Glastonbury next year.
Nice. Like a one-off.
Yeah, like all five of them again. Yeah. So I think, because I saw them this year, and I got to see Jerry finally.
Yay!
Hey, finally, full circle.
Yeah, and again, Union Jack dress. She had a Union Jack, like, Queen's outfit. Like,
wow, like a kind of a...
Yeah, like the ball gown.
Nice.
Gara, so... I got to fulfill my Jerry. I got to see Jerry live.
Am I right in saying, I was just like, just you saying that about the ball game there, just reminding Elton John. Am I right in saying is Jerry the godmother to his child?
You know, I would have to look that up. I think
it's something like that. Cause I know he's very close.
She was very close. Yeah. Cause yeah. You know, obviously I think when Jerry left the Spice Girls, she, I think she definitely got a lot of help because I think became friends with Robbie Williams. They had a little
fling.
You know, she became very good friends with George Michael.
Yeah, of course.
Because I think when she was younger, she had a crush on him.
Yeah.
And she always said she wanted to meet him, and then she ended up staying. She went and lived with him over the summer.
And then she went, oh, right.
Well, I could be his friend. If I can't date him, I'll be his friend. Yes. Yeah, I mean, she stayed with him a lot over the summer after leaving the Spice Girls when all that was going on to, you know, let all that die down.
Mm.
Yeah, we're talking about her leaving, like, when she released a book a year or so after. Mm. I can't read it without crying.
Really?
Even now, like, I mean, like, it's her ages ago, but I think the way she talks, and,
is it full of, like, hurts and...
Yeah, I think she just talks about, you know, she talks about life and how she got to this place, and then she just talked a lot about the feelings afterwards and, you know, how she felt alone and everything was going on around her, but she felt, I mean, like, she probably, had to get off and...
Like we said, like, you weren't particularly mad at her for
leaving.
No,
I was proud of her.
Yeah, and I think that was really good, but I reckon there's a lot of fans out there...
Oh, yeah, of course.
That were like, you've ruined the Spice Girls, how dare you know, you've ruined this girl power image,
and I think
going off on your own, making your own money,
because when she left they were in the middle of the actual tour,
which is which is pretty, like, all those fans like yourself would have been pretty good,
because when we went to see it they had things saying like Jerry Halliwell will not be performing, so if you want a refund you can have your payback.
Enough,
I think there were a lot of people with banners saying where's Ginger, you know, and I suppose especially for a lot of young, you know, we were young back then.
Yeah, 14, you don't understand.
14 years in London. It's devastating. But I mean, fair play to the girls. They did well as a four-piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, they carried on for a little bit longer.
Mm.
You know, they had a few more singles after. I think Jerry left at the right time.
Yeah.
Because they were all talking about solo careers. Like, Mel B had a number one a couple of months after anyway. Why they were still finishing the tour. They both got pregnant. When they did their last date at the tour, Victoria and Mel B were actually dancing on stage pregnant.
Wow, amazing.
You know, David Beckham with Victoria, and then Mel B married one of the dancers.
Oh, okay.
She was Mel G for a bit. Because she.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so she married one of her dancers. So I think they took a bit of time out anyway, and then they all did the solo songs. You know, all of them by Victoria have had a solo UK number one.
I blame that on Dame Bowers.
She had a few good, I mean, her album's quite obscure. Like, she had a few good tracks off there. Like,
fair enough. It was just that there were wrong ones for singles, maybe.
Because they did a reunion tour, because they did get back together, obviously. Reunion tour.
Yeah, they did do.
In the 2000s, where Jerry came back as a five piece. And, you know, that they did a tour and they did their solo songs on the tour, apart from Victoria, who did a RuPaul's Work, Cover Girl, the song, and she just strutted up and down the stage for parties. But again, she made her career out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spice Girls started off, but she's a dynasty in herself.
Yeah, she's her own kind of universe.
And I know she's a lot of people's favourite. Everyone loves Victoria. Like, I think she gets, like, a lot of people like it. Yeah.
Does she get a lot of flack as well, though, do you think?
No, I don't think so, because I think, like, she's an identity in herself, isn't she? Like, we'll talk about probably in the film, the Gucci dress and the dress, and she ran with that, and fair play to her. Like, she has amassed a business out of herself and David together, like, collectively. Yeah. So, and actually, like I said, net worth of the Spice Girls is around 400 million. She's worth at least 200 by herself. They've all done well. And I think, you know, they should all be very proud of what they've done. And like I said, they're still continuing to do
it. I'm so glad I got you on to talk about this, because this is again something I don't know that much about. I'm not that aware of, but this is why I like having guests like you on, because it kind of opens my eyes to stuff I've not seen or not experienced, like the movie or the music or their kind of backstory. I had no idea all these kind of facts and figures that you've been spilling out. It's amazing.
Because like the sales, I mean, they're so reflective. And like I said, they did well in America. Like, no girl group had ever done that before. And you know, British acts don't tend to do very well in America. So to get a number one album and a number one single in America at that time, and again, they were massive over there. And again, everyone in America fed into Spice World as well, and, you know, got into the Spice Girls. I think for me, it's more feelings. I think, and again, there probably is a bit of nostalgia there. Like, for some people, the music probably hasn't stood the test of time. People probably can't even stand the Spice Girls, but it's emotive for me.
Yeah.
And it does make
exactly. Well, it was like you say, it was a transformative part of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you were becoming who you were going to be.
It was a time in my life.
And that kind of assisted you.
I was kind of growing into the person I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Gary Spice. But like, yeah, it helped me form who I am today. And, you know, like, yeah, it was just a very happy time in my life. And I remember being very positive and very vibrant. And everyone was like, yes. Yeah. And it was fun. And again, like, my mum was like, I changed a lot then, because I went from being this quiet, shy boy to dye my hair bright blonde. I got my ears pierced.
Yeah.
Again, I came out. So I think that's the nostalgia thing. I think I was quite naughty. I went out when I was younger. I started going out when I was 15.
Oh, I went out. First club I went to, I was 13.
Oh, okay. Well, you're worse than me.
I'm naughtier.
My mum used to, like, she said, I can go out as long as I'm home by, oh, it's so early now, as long as I'm home by midnight. Okay. Which, to be fair, when you're 14, it's
yeah.
Well, my mum was really not. My sister was.
I told my parents I was going out as well. I didn't just go out while I was 13.
Oh, no, I was quite old. My sister was a tearaway. And my mum basically went, if you like her, then you're not going out. So I was kind of like, okay, I'll be good.
Yeah, you've got
to
behave.
And again, it just, as a young gay person going to that, like, obviously in Manchester we have a gay village here, and it was about, again, finding a sense of community. And I was 15 and I was going to these gay bars and I was drinking WKDs and feeling all grown up, and the Spice Girls were playing. And again, at that time they introduced so many other bands. Like, over here we had bands like Steps, you know, they
S Club 7,
All Saints, you know, they spawned
Bewitched.
I mean, gosh, we all have double denim as I'm wearing double denim. Exactly. So I think, and all that music, and it was just in that era. And I think that's why the Spice Girls mean a lot for me, because it just reminds me of that time when I was super happy and I was super calm. I mean, I am now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, as a young person coming out, and as a teenager, not even coming out, as a teenager and as a young person finding who you are and becoming yourself, it just helped scope who I am. And like I said, I loved all the Spice Girls, but that's why I had a thing for Jerry, because Jerry Halliwell helped.
She kind of epitomized what you wanted to be and what you were looking for.
To be. Like a lot of probably young girls and a lot of guys, there was always that one who you wanted to be like.
Yeah.
And she was mine, so the Spice Girls helped me become who I am today, really.
Yeah, that's really
again,
nice.
And again, I still know that I can do every single dance right now. I know. I'm not going to. I know every single...
We'll have a YouTube channel. I'll get you back.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, deal.
Teach me all the dances.
But yeah, like, I can still remember every dance. I can remember every lyric. I can remember outfits. Last year, they had all the outfits.
Okay.
There was like a gallery where you could go around and look at all the costumes and stuff. And... yeah, like, because my sister likes them as well. And I took her to this thing and she was like, I don't remember that. And I was like, that was in the Istanbul concert. Yeah. That was when they made an appearance on Top of the Pops. That was just when I think about now, I talk to people and I'm like, gosh, you sound like a super fan. And I'm like, well, I'm not, because I don't have clippings.
Yeah.
Like, newspaper articles. Like, I'm surprised I don't have a tattoo, because obviously I'm covered in tattoos.
Absolutely covered, head to toe.
But then, because I was thinking about obviously doing this, and I was like, I always wanted to get on the Viva Forever video. They had these... obviously, because Jerry left, so I think they were doing So they had these animatronic...
I imagine that made you cry as well.
The Viva Forever video... oh, the Viva Forever song brings a tear to my eye, because, again, Jerry left as they were releasing that song, and the whole kind of...
It's kind of a little melancholy, isn't it? It's kind of like...
It is. It was like, Viva Forever, we're going to keep going, live forever for the moment, you know, the words, and...
Phil Parrison dead, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, and it kind of felt like a bit like... not that it was, but I think something changed then.
Yes, it shifted. It became a different
thing. Because, I mean, they had Goodbye. That was
really famous.
And that was obviously Goodbye to Jerry. And then they did release another album called Forever in the 2000s. It wasn't as well received. And again, I think they were putting more emphasis on their solo career.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Mel C didn't even attend any of the recorded sessions.
Really?
It was done separate. So
okay.
I think by that point, it was kind of running its course. And I think we were in 2000 now, and I think things have changed. And
I think the music industry just does change quite dramatically. Like, just when you think the public wants something,
it changes.
All of a sudden, they want something else.
Well, because R&B was coming through.
Yeah.
Because then, again, girl group like Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
They were still like 94.
Even Pink was R&B.
Because their first album was very R&B. Yeah. So yeah, I think R&B was definitely the way it was going in the early 2000s. A lot of people were in silver suits because we all had to be space age.
Yeah.
So I think, things were shifting. I think Spice Girls' third album was a bit more R&B oriented. They worked with a lot of American producers.
Fair enough.
And again, it was a style that was different.
Yeah. But you do, that's the thing is, like, it's hard when you have a specific sound, but your sound does have to change over time. Because if you just keep doing that same stuff, people go, you know, well, it's the same thing you did. I would just listen to your old album. But then sometimes when you do change, people are like, well, it's not like your old stuff, so I hate it.
But I think in every career in like music industry, there's always that epitome of an album or an era where everyone, you know, loves an artist.
Yeah, that's like a Fleetwood Mac Rumours.
And again, when we look at the stats of how much they made and the sales, that was in 2 years.
Wow.
Like, you know, over the space of 2 years, they had 2 albums and it was just a whirlwind. And I think like Joey had said to them previously, we're going to do this for 2 years, guys, and then we're going to call it quits.
But I think that's, you know, like quitting when the getting is good is quite a good thing to do. You know, you don't want to gamble your career or you don't want to kind of slide down a slope. So I think that was quite, in a way, quite good of Jerry to do that and to make that kind of business model and go, 2 years, that's it, we're done. You know, that's it. We can close that off. We're not going to have this slide that, you know, like Oasis or something have, you know. Oh,
controversial. You know. They're still going now.
You know?
The brothers are going.
Yeah, the brothers are going. But they did, like, you could say that, like, they're, you know, there was a documentary I watched recently where they were, I think they were performing at Silverstone or somewhere like that, and that was, like, the height. And then from then, they did a few other albums, a few other things, but it kind of started really falling apart. I mean, it depends on, you know, I don't know much about music, but that's what I've got from other people and from the information I have. But there are a lot of those bands that kind of just slide and, you know, they try doing different things that don't necessarily work and they slide in further and you're like, oh, well, if it was more like the glory days or they should have stopped there, or they do it with films as well. Films change, like people want a different kind of Batman or a different kind of this.
But again, I think they've stood the test of time because, like I said, they toured this year.
Yeah. You went to see them, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
see it.
And how were they? Were they good?
They were great. They were amazing. Like, they filled up the stadium. It was sold out. The whole tour was sold out. It was great. It was, I think I did shed a tear at one point.
Of course
you did. I know I did. But yeah.
I'll be honest. This is the most emotional I've seen you. I think most of the time you're dead inside.
I am. See, this is not the Spice. When Joey left, that's what happened. I died inside. And then when she came back, I was
like, just like a stone heart.
Hugging my union
tea towel. What happened to Jerry?
But that's why, because I like that she kind of did her own thing. Again, I liked Jerry as a person.
Yeah.
I liked who she was. And the thing is, the values that she had as Ginger Spice, she was still had as a person. And I think when you hear her talk, she talks a lot.
Yeah.
And she's,
I never really thought, like, when I'm thinking back, like, I remember Jerry as being quite, you know, quite bolshy and ballsy. But actually, that's more kind of like Scary Spice. She's more kind of loud.
She was loud and rough.
Yeah, she was like, in your face. Yeah, and like, she is like, even in the film, she comes across as like, she's very eloquent, she's very educated. Yeah. And obviously they're all very educated, but they play to their kind of stereotype. And they even make jokes about being stereotyped and stuff within the film.
Again, I think I have a bias. Like, they all, you know, I'm sure you could get someone else who will talk about how amazing Mel B is. And I have much respect for all of them. I have respect for people that want to go and do things that they want to do. Yeah. I have respect for women that are empowered and, you know, they believe in themselves and, you know, and again, they fit into that. So I have much respect for each one individually. You know, Victoria, like we said, she's done amazingly well. Mm. You know, they've all done well in their own right. And like I said, I think it's a credit to them that they have stood the test of time. And they are fixed now, iconically, in British culture. Mm. Like the Olympics in 2012, they got back together and they came out on top of Taxis. like, how British can you be?
Yeah, that's true.
And again, we'll talk about the film. It's like embedded in like British.
Yeah,
like London.
Yeah,
you know, I think they were very proud from being from the UK.
Mm.
I think they made me. Yeah, I'm proud of them girls. They probably don't care that I'm proud, but I'm very proud of them girls that they did a lot.
I think they'd be very proud of you, Gary.
I think
the effect they had on you and how like your story is quite. You know, it's a very touching story. It's probably the most touching story I've had on this silly podcast.
Joey, if you're listening, I really want to meet you.
Gary, they would make Gary's life.
You would literally.
They would make. Gary's
you would make me cry more than
but I think it's a really like it's really amazing to hear somebody who's, you know, such a fan of something and somebody and their and the effects that it's had on you. Like, yeah, you know, I can talk about, you know, being bullied and like I can see, you know, relating to Spider-Man and stuff, but you know, and that's my own personal journey and that's my own thing. But like I would have been like in my day, I would be like, oh, Spice Girls, not really my thing. I'm not the demographic they're going after, but you know, I did looking back on them now, I appreciate them kind of retroactively what they did and how they made, you know, changes and in, you know, pop culture, Britain, you know, feminism, all these different things. But it's really nice to hear, you know, someone's kind of growing up and growing through that and transforming and being influenced and inspiring someone to become who they're going to be and becoming a great person like yourself.
Oh, thank you.
You know? So, on that note, on that lovely, beautiful, touching note, let's talk about the movie.
Finally, yeah. Everyone tuned in. They're like,
we know about the Spice Girls. Thanks. We are fans of the Spice Girls. We know those stats and statistics as well. So, let's talk about the film. So, it's a film.
I mean, yeah.
It's very much in the kind of vein of those kind of Hard Day's Night, kind of The Monkees, those kind of wacky films that just kind of feature the band.
It's satire.
Yeah.
It's a parody of themselves.
Yes, definitely.
It 100%. Fed into the characters, you know, the baby sporty, scary ginger posh. Kind of essentially that. It's not apologetic at how bad it is, I don't think. And I think, no. I think even now they would say, like, you know, it's great.
It's fun. It's definitely it's a fun romp. I'd say not all the kind of the jokes work or all the characters, like so many cameos though. Like I think everybody wanted to be involved in this film because they love the Spice Girls, love what they're doing. You've got Elton John in there, Bob Hoskins,
Rich D. Grant,
Richard O'Brien, Dame Edna.
Jennifer Saunders,
I mean, Elvis Costello. You know, the list goes on. It's
Ruffy from Casualty.
What's his face from The Wire? Dominic something. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He's got a very brief part. Michael Barrymore. A few other controversial. One controversial cameo was cut. We won't go into that though. I'm sure you can guess what it is. Go on the IMDb. I'll tell you. Go on the IMDb. Yeah.
You'll know when you hear the song.
Yeah. There's one of the songs that they. That is not their song, but yeah, you'll get the idea. Anyway. Where would you rate this in like all the films you've probably seen? Is this like a guilty pleasure or?
I mean, it's not guilty. Not at all.
I love it.
No, I mean, it is what it says on the tin. I mean, I'm not going to stand. I mean, I love the Spice Girls, but I'm not going to say it's the best film that's ever been made. And like I said, I'm pretty much sure they would say it's not either. But again, they were like this marketing machine and they just were like, you know what? Let's just do a film.
Why not?
And like, they just did it.
If Cliff Richard can do a film on being on a bus, why not? You know,
numerous.
He did. We're all going on a summer holiday.
No, it was tragic, but it's.
I don't think it's tragic.
It was tragically great. It's one of them films that are so bad they're amazing.
I think it'd be a guilty pleasure for me. I know it's not maybe a guilty pleasure for you, but if I saw it again, I'd be like, yeah, I'll watch it. You know, it's an hour and a half and, you know, it'll fly by. I hope it was an hour and a half.
You say that, the end, when it came to the end, you went, is that it?
I was like, is there not more? It's very, like, I think with a lot of kind of musical films or music films, where it's pretty much just their songs back to back or the performance back to back, the stories are always a bit thin. I watched Grease 2 recently and.
One of the best films ever.
I'll tell you what, Grease 2 is better than Cats. I'll say that. I will say that. Hands down.
Oh, I mean, especially after seeing the new Cats.
Yeah, that new trailer looks horrendous.
Oh.
But I never really liked the musical. It's a lot of wanky actors doing cat acting. I'm a wanky actor, so it must be pretty wanky if I hate it.
And James Corden as a cat does not look good.
No, and Jason Derulo.
I mean, if he's in the film, you know, it ain't gonna be that good.
Nah, true.
No offense, Jason.
No, so Jason. Yeah, but we're not looking forward to that, and we won't be watching it. But I saw my friend showed me the stage show a few years ago, and there was a behind the scenes video before they released the trailer. They released the behind the scenes, and they were like, yeah, this narrative, and I was like, there's no fucking narrative.
Yeah, when I saw the trailer, I just kind of thought it was like an in-the-works trailer. Like, I didn't realise this is what you're going to see.
No, you should have just watched the behind-the-scenes. Yeah. Behind-the-scenes one where they're interviewed about it and you can see them without the CG, but then the other trailer has all the horrible CG.
I mean, I'd rather watch Vines or funny videos of cats, to be honest.
Yeah, actual cat videos, yeah. Anyway, so we're diverging. So, what is the plot, Gary, of Spice World?
You can try
and nail that down for me.
The plot is essentially about the Spice Girls. It's essentially them getting to their gig on time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about them being at the peak of their career. They're about to perform in the Albert Hall.
Working very hard, tight schedules.
Doing the biggest concert of their career so far. And it's about a journalist, essentially, who's there to bring them down, to ruin their career and to get the band to break up before it gets to their gig.
Right.
I mean, That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, roughly, yeah. I think that's probably the best description of the plot we could possibly gather.
I mean, I'm sure between the two of us. Subplots.
There are subplots. There's Alan Cumming's in it.
Yeah.
And he plays a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah.
And he's trying to kind of capture the most intimate part of the Spice Girls, get to their real...
Yeah, the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, the documentary.
At the heart of the
Spice Girls. Who are the Spice Girls? What's their past? Let's see them cry, all this sort of stuff. And I really like Alan Cumming as actor, but this is the most kind of Spinal Tap element of the film, and it for me really didn't work. It's got a very bland character. They don't really do much. They just keep turning up and not being able to see the Spice Girls or talk to the Spice Girls.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely great to have him in it.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like Alan Cumming, and I like him as an actor and performer, but. I think it was nice to have him in it.
I don't think he gave much. I think the film wouldn't have been worse off without him.
No, I think you could have cut that whole subplot out of it because it doesn't really do much with it. Even in the end, they're kind of like. I did quite like the kind of meta film narrative. So the kind of these studio guys are pitching a film to the manager.
The film within the film.
Yeah, it's a film within a film, and it kind of in the finale is describing what's actually happening to the girls.
Actually, make film.
Yeah, and it's like, there's gonna be a jump over the bridge. And then it's like, well, maybe not. And then they're going to turn up right now. And then Richard E. Grant starts strangling him, saying, "You lied!"
After watching it this time, I was like, he has the longest arms in the world because he goes to strangle his neck. And it's like so long.
I was like, how? You know, it was like Mr. Fantastic or something. Like,
stretching out.
Stretchy throat. Choking.
Yeah. I think out of all the actors they asked to come in, Richard E. Grant definitely embodied that. Crazy manager who was just spiraling in despair trying to do his job with all the everything that was just going against him all the time. Like he definitely embodied that.
Oh yeah. I think Richard E. Grant is great at showing kind of stress and tension.
He has that vein,
and desperation. And he looks like really, again, really wanky. He's got these horrible sideburns and this horrible
See, you see wanky. I actually quite like them.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no.
He made his face look longer.
He looked like one of the bloody Giuseppe twins from EastEnders.
Oh, gosh,
back in the day.
But
those horrible little, those kind of weird
line.
Yeah, just those, I mean, we both got very handsome beards, you know, and I don't think I could style my beard anywhere near that without accidentally cutting it off and ruining the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so like those really thin tashes, those Ali G type beards. I can never do those. But yeah, I love Richard Ian Grant in pretty much everything I see him in.
He's a formidable actor, isn't he, I think?
And I think he was a really good kind of energy to bring in to kind of match the Spice Girls' kind of crazier, wackier energy.
Yeah, but he was like the craziest in going insane.
Yeah, so he's like a negative crazy, but they're just like, yay, let's
do
fun
things. I think it was negative to the point of getting the job done and getting them to where they need to be.
Yeah, he's... I don't think he was like an evil guy, but he was just super stressed out.
Yeah.
Roger Moore, he's the guy in charge, isn't he?
With the riddles.
Yeah, he's got all these kind of weird phrases and sayings and idioms, and he's constantly stroking a pig.
Yeah, it goes from a cat. And then a pig.
But they were like, no, it's better if it's a pig. I think they were obviously quite obviously alluding to the kind of James Bond and stuff. And there's even a bit where Posh Trice dresses up as Honey Lemon from Dr. No. She's got like the bikini and the blonde hair and the knife. Yeah, and she's like shaking all stirred.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where he's like, I think Richard E. Grant's saying, oh, I don't want to stir anything up. And he's Roger Moore's making a cocktail. He's shaking the cocktail. And he's like, it doesn't need to be stirred. And I was like, oh, that's quite a clever little pun. But yeah, that's he's kind of like this weird supervillain, but again, nothing really happens with him. He's just like,
I think essentially, like, you got Richard O'Brien, who's the undercover reporter who's there,
my lookalike,
without the beard,
without the beard. I could look a little creepy, I could do a creepy O'Brien,
creepy O'Brien,
that's his nickname.
He does that character quite well. I think he had to bring down the Spice skills to. You know, put them in scenarios that give negative press.
Twist. I mean, that's quite modern, kind of modern fake news.
Well, it was reflective of what was going on with the Spice Girls, because obviously they were riding high on this wave.
And so everyone wanted to pull them down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously don't want to lose to Jerry, but she had the topless pictures that came out.
Yeah.
And again, family-friendly band, you know, these young girls look up to these women.
Mm.
And then, you know, you got Jerry on the front page with her boobs out.
Yeah.
great boobs. And I mean,
yeah, and there's a lot of like jokes about, you know, oh, we should stop like being our stereotypes, and they all look at like their kind of stereotypical thing. Jerry looks directly at her chest and covers her chest.
Yeah, and then when the child's
in the coma,
and then he's like, "Why don't you show your boobs?" And I was like, "Well, he can't see because her eyes are shut." And they just open.
Yeah, it's like, "Well, I'm not in a coma anymore."
Yeah, and the dad looks very happy as well.
To be fair, like if I was in a coma, if I was a teenage boy in a coma, if someone said that, I probably would wake up. Yeah. You know, fair enough. You know, hormones and everything. But yeah, the dads, there's a lot of kind of alluding to it, but like it's fun. It's not creepy or weird, or well, maybe some bits.
I think they knew adults were going to come and see this film as well as lots of kids, and kids aren't going to get the innuendo jokes. They're just going to see the Spice Girls and enjoy that. So exactly, I think they're definitely tailored to a bit of crew humor, but not in a
It's kind of like a Shrek. Like you're making some of it's quite blatant. I think even as a child, you would probably like, children aren't stupid. They can pick up on innuendo and stuff. But I think some of that was a bit. It's not as subtle as a Shrek, but kind of there was elements of that. But I, you know what surprised me? Like all the acting from the girls is quite over the top. Like Sporty Jerry, Baby, and you know Mel B as well. Scary. Did I say scary? Already said scary. Sporty Scary, Baby, and Jerry. But Victoria's acting is actually...
Victoria was amazing.
Like, she's actually quite good at acting. And I was like, that was the one person I thought would be the weak link.
I think she was just quite being good at being herself. She really played up to the parody of Victoria, Posh Spice.
But yeah, it wasn't over the top.
It was just her.
It was more naturalistic than all the other girls. Like, her performance doesn't match the others, but it's more genuine.
And I think she definitely has some of the best one-liners.
Oh, easily, like, yeah.
You know, the little Gucci dress. you know, it's silk. Yeah. Like, no, it's dry clean only when she falls in the water.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, and the bit where they're doing the army training.
Well, see, that's my best part of the whole film. Like, Victoria, like, there's a bit where Michael Barrymore, he's an army instructor. He's a dance instructor. So they go for, like, an army boot camp workout. So all the other girls are climbing over obstacles, falling in water. And Victoria's just there in a Gucci army dress, high heels, just strutting all the way down, not doing one bit of the exercise.
I mean, she is working it. She's totally working it.
I mean, she did that workout, but she worked it.
I mean, it's probably muddy, quite muddy as well. Well,
I think so, it's walking heels on grass.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's quite a skill.
She probably like to not sink into the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, I've done that in not even in heels. I've just gone, you know, straight
in. I mean, it gave us, you know, strength and courage in a wonder bra.
Strength and courage in a wonder bra. What a phrase.
Exactly. Again, timeless. People say that now. Like, people do say that now. I've had people say like that line to me when I said the Spice Girl.
You know what? Is that in one of the songs? Is it in one of the...
It's just in one of the quotes. It's the bit that the singing went.
Yeah. I'd never heard that, so I thought maybe the way you said it was like maybe it was kind of like one like in one of the more iconic songs.
And again, they focus on good, like Bob Hoskins. Jerry Halliwell turns to Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, yeah.
Like equalization of the sexes.
Yeah, yeah. Girl power. Very much. And that's Bob Hoskins saying it as Jerry.
Yeah. Jerry as Bob. Wonder Jerry's Woman. Bob.
Yeah.
It's been in
I thought they were fun. I genuinely laughed at stuff. So it's not like, oh my God, this is dire, horrible comedy. There is stuff to laugh at. It's stuff to have fun with. Can we talk about the sixth Spice Girl? the pregnant Spice.
Yeah. Non-entity Spice.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think she was the human element. She was the non-celebritarian element.
So it was trying to kind of ground them in reality.
Yeah, I think it was like the other girls have found fame. They were, you know, they were still being themselves, but they were busy doing world tours, doing photo shoots and stuff. Where she was this pregnant woman who followed them around.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm your friend. And they're like,
Mel B, until we leave you.
Mel B went, so Yorkshire. She was like, I was baby. And I was just like, oh God.
I felt sorry for her. Because the amount of times she just left her, like, what is it? They went to a club and this guy goes up to the friend and goes, who are you? And she's like, I'm a nobody. And then just leaves.
Yeah, she went, he was like, are you part of the Spice World or something? Or Spice Girl Posse or whatever. And she goes, no, I'm nobody. And he goes, I need to go over there now. And he walks over there and then she just leaves.
Yeah.
And none of the girls chase after her. None of the girls say anything to her. None of the girls question why she's left. She's kind of upset herself by saying she was a nobody. Like, no one else has said she was a nobody.
I know, bless her.
And then later she comes back and
they take her to a club.
They go to the gay bar. It's like Ministry of Sound. You know, and they dance. And then the girls are like, we're going to go dance.
To our own song.
And she's like, oh, this is our song. We've got to dance to it. And then she's like, okay. And then she's like, just stood up there kind of like, And I'm like, she's dressed like, you know, just like an average, but like not someone who goes clubbing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and then all of a sudden the waters break and the girls barely notice. And eventually she's like keeled over and they're like, yeah, oh my God, she's pregnant.
Yeah, but then they get her to the hospital. Then you got the dramatic bus journey where they get her to the hospital.
Oh yeah, I've got to get her on time. Is Posh driving? That's Posh driving the bus.
Yeah, in heels.
Yeah, because normally Meatloaf is driving.
Yeah, exactly.
He's driving the bus. Yeah, and he goes, that's my bus.
I mean, only Victoria can drive a bus in heels.
I don't think anyone's allowed to. I think there's a law against
that. But we're in Spice World. You can
Sorry. It's a universe. There's laws unto themselves. But yeah. So, but then they get to the, yeah, and they kind of have the baby. And no, that was it. They're on the bus, and you know, and they're like, oh, keep it in. Like this, Jerry's screaming at her vagina, going, we're not ready for you yet. You know. And then there's a bit where Mel B was like, one of them says, put your legs together. And Mel B's like, she should have thought about that nine months ago. I was like, fucking hell, all right. That's a bit
and
hard.
Then they're like, it's not going to come out because the tights are still on.
I was like, yeah. I was like, have you just slut-shamed your friend? You shouldn't really be doing that. There are a few, like with any old film, though, there are a few moments where you're like,
is this season?
Yeah, maybe this one wouldn't fly now, but
yeah,
you know.
But in the 90s.
I know, we're talking like 20 years ago now. Yeah. Over 20
years.
It's
so scary when you say it like
that. Yeah, it's old. Old, like we're old.
You're old.
Ancient, we're ancient. But it's still fun. What other kind of parts I want to talk about? There's the guy, the dancing men in that, they go to, is it Malia or Madrid?
Oh, yeah, they do the Spanish,
and they're doing like a video, and then they all come out and they're all like these basically oiled up dudes kind of dancing, and they're like, no, we can't have this is totally inappropriate. Then they put them in these like pink tuxedos,
yeah,
and Richard E. Grant saying, oh, we had a compromise.
And what was the compromise? Shapless pants.
and then all the girls are like,
just stood around
kind of like, okay, sure. And then the guy who's like really fighting for like the nudity of the men is surrounded by loads of women just like, yeah. Okay, I don't know if he's like maybe they're you know, his beard or something. Maybe, I don't know.
But again, they played on the characters because why they were taking a break, like Emma Bunton as Baby Spice, she's talking about how many teddies and you know, things she has on her bed, so she hasn't got any room for a dancer to join her.
Sorry, you can't. Do you reckon he said, let's, you know, he made a pass, and then she's like, well, no, I've got Woody Buzz.
I mean, Woody
and Buzz might be like different types of toys for all we know.
Oh, come on, it's Emma Bunton.
She's bloody 20 at least.
We don't have to think about that.
Well, she's had kids, you know.
But she was only like 18, 19 back then.
That's still above. Yeah, I don't think you want to think about Gary. I don't think you want to think about any of them having sex.
No, I don't mind thinking about them having sex. I just don't want you to ruin the baby's vibe.
Well, you know. Every baby grows up.
Well, we all expect Mel B and Jerry to be at it. Like we.
Oh, right, so we can't... So.
Well, we all know about the whole scandal recently of Jerry Halliwell and Mel B having relations.
Oh! Actually, tell me more about that. I don't think I've heard about that.
So Mel B was on Parkinson, UK chat show. No, not Parkinson. What's the
called? Jonathan Ross? Jonathan Ross is in this
No,
as well.
What's the guy that everyone hates on morning TV?
Oh, Piers Morgan.
That's the one, yeah. I only watched it recently as well, yeah.
Got it in one.
Got it in three. So it was his chat show, and Mel B kind of alluded that her and Jerry had had intimate relations while they were in the Spice Girls, which everyone was so shocked about, but I'm sure they've mentioned it in the past.
Yeah,
I know they've, you know, they were like, we're girls, we're
out together
all the time. I think, again, Jerry's like a lady now, so he was promoting that. I wasn't like that back
then.
Yeah, it was all kind of controversial because it came out. Well, that's controversial.
A bit late
for the controversy. Yeah. But yeah, that all came out recently. That Mel B and Jerry got it off. Mm. So
I mean, again, it's not really that controversial to me.
And I wasn't even shocked. I thought it already happened. So.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it was like one. I think it was like the Kevin Spacey scandal where they're like, oh, he's come out as gay. I was like, but he was always gay.
Yeah, but
all the horrible shit he's done. I'm sure he came out as gay before, or like. But maybe because I was kind of in the acting kind of sphere that I knew he was gay without him officially stating it in the public. I don't know. Are there any parts of the film, any other parts you want to talk about or that you really like or that you don't like?
No, I think collectively it was great. I mean, I love the tagline for the film is, they don't just sing. And boy, don't they. Like,
And they don't really act, either.
But again, like the film, so the film was written by Simon Fuller, the manager's wife.
Yeah.
And again, apparently, yeah, she didn't let the Spice Girls look at the script until they were really doing it.
That doesn't surprise me.
But I think it was more to get a bit more of them. I think it was just basically, here's the kind of outline of what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You just kind of go, because I mean, I think definitely when you were watching it, you just felt like you were hanging out with them.
Yeah.
It was just, you felt, I didn't feel like I was watching, but I just felt like I was watching them.
Yeah.
As how they were.
And I think there was some scenes where I think they just let them run riot. I think they just went, they're just going to turn the camera on. Like when they're trying on the outfits and stuff, pretending to be each other, and they're pretending to be famous, like, you know, like Marilyn Monroe and Jackie Kennedy and all those other kind of things.
Yeah, and they dressed up, and like, you know, Mel C pretending to be Jerry Halleck. They all pretend to be each other.
I think Emma Bunton plays Mel B.
No, she was Victoria. Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah, because she's a
And Sport 2's Victoria. Yes. Yeah, that was what I said. We were watching that. I said, she looks like the Bo Selecta version of Mel B.
Yeah.
Ooh, my grips!
She did, yeah. She pretty much did that, yeah.
Did, yeah. And that was funny. And I think Sport 2 was Victoria. Mel B was Jerry. And, oh, I can't remember.
They were all I think the really random... I think the most random part of the film was the alien.
Oh, God, yeah. Why did I mention that? Yeah.
The
toilets bust.
Yeah.
They go out into the kind of wilderness. Meatloaf has a great line. They're like, why have all the toilets broken, Meatloaf? Why have all the toilets broken? And he's like...
And the manager's like, will you fix it?
Yeah,
will
you fix it? And he's like, I'll do anything for these girls.
But I won't do that.
What a great line.
So yeah, they end up in the woods, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big UFO comes down.
Yeah.
And then there's just these little aliens that...
So I'll describe the aliens. They've got massive hands. Massive hands.
Yeah.
Tiny head, troll-like hair, if you remember Trolls. There was a movie out the other day. Spiky hair trolls, like if you twist it. And like a Dracula cape.
Yeah, like a big high-up cape that comes up behind
them. And their faces
heads.
Are like you know, like shrunken head.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Tiny.
And they're speaking in a language that the Spice Girls understand.
Yeah, so I love the fact that there's subtitles for us to understand it, but the Spice Girls know exactly what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they just like literally land to see if they can come to the concert. Like,
pretty much,
have you got tickets?
Yeah, by the way, you're the Spice Girls, yes. And then one of them asks for a kiss, and they're like, right, Jerry, you're the most sexually adventurous.
Of all of us, you do it.
You kiss the weird alien, and it's like,
yeah. And then it's like, can I have your autograph?
You don't freak. You don't want girls. You could have said no.
Yeah,
you can always say no.
But again, I think it was like, let's just throw everything in, and see what we can get away with. And I think they just actually just did. Whatever.
Yeah. I think they threw everything at the wall to see what sticks, but it just happened that everything stuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
and again, it was parody, and I think they definitely set themselves up to take the mic out.
There's definitely like the chemistry between all the girls is great. I do think they really get on. You can tell there's a lot of love there, and they care about each other genuinely, and they're having, and you know, you can see they're having fun, and that comes across. You know, it's not pretend fun.
Yeah,
they're actually having fun.
Yeah, I think it was just an extension of themselves. I mean, obviously there was acting.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
air quotes. Yeah. Gary is doing air quotes when he says acting.
But yeah, it was just more of them. I like the bit where we're talking about the speedboat with the kid.
The
seasick the whole time.
There's this kid, there's two competition winners get to kind of hang out with the Spice Girls for a little bit.
Yeah.
And they go off and they're like, we're going to have some fun on a speedboat. And they're all dancing, they're singing. I think it's like My Boy Lollipop.
Yeah.
And all that, singing that. And this one kid in the middle, the boy, and they're all kind of dancing around, and he looks like he's not really dancing or enjoying it.
He just looks like he's clinging up.
And he's holding their hands, and they're like, and he looks a bit off. And I was just thinking, they're all surrounding him. He doesn't look right. He's like, we can see him. Like, the circle's open enough for us to see him, but he just doesn't look that comfortable. He's not dancing. He's not really looking at them.
And they're
looking directly at him. And I'm like, he's seasick. He's got to be seasick.
Yeah, he did not look comfortable.
Yeah. And I imagine that's not him being thrown from the speedboat.
Like, just hurling to the side to throw up. I love the bit as well where Victoria just sat there looking so unimpressed by everything that's going on around her. I mean, again, the bus is like, it's got the Union Jack on.
Exactly,
set.
And a big peace sign on the back.
Yeah, so the bus is essentially Jerry Halliwell's dress from the Brit Awards.
Yeah, pretty much.
It had the peace sign on the back.
And they've got Spice on the top.
The Spice bus. I mean, it's still around now. You can actually stay at the hotel.
I mean, nowadays, I think a Spice bus would be some sort of drug parlor.
Oh, yeah, especially around here, but maybe it's a hotel. You can stay on it now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well,
it reminded me back in, like, most people won't remember this, like, but back in the 90s, they had like a McDonald's party bus in Blackpool, and you would basically have the birthday party on there.
Yeah.
And you would go upstairs, and there's like where you sit down, you have all your McDonald's, and there's party games, and I think there's some like bars and stuff you could swing on. But it reminded me of that a little bit.
Yeah. not in a good way though.
No, like, probably not. No.
That bus is pretty creepy.
It's very TARDIS like.
Well, yeah, because I said that to you, because like the bus is just a bus, like a double decker bus on the outside, but then on the inside, it's literally huge. It's like it doubles in size.
It is massive. I would happily live on that bus for the rest of my life.
And I don't know if you noticed, because I didn't mention it when we were watching it, but like each bit of the bus was a segment dedicated towards them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so their room.
Yeah, because like Emma Bunsen had a swing for Bailey's Bias, and then obviously Victoria had the closets with all the like clothes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they had like a bit that kind of reflected each of their characters.
I mean, I wonder what, you know, Emma Bunsen's been up to with that swing as well. I mean, you never know.
Again, don't do
that. I'm ruining the innocent fans of all the Spice Girls. No!
No, she's lovely. She's still just as gentle and nice as she was back then.
Yes, I'm sure she is, but she might still like a bit of the other.
And again, I think the film was very much a plug for the UK as well, wasn't it? Because it was like this Union Jack bus, and it went past every site in London. So I suppose if it's been seen around the world, you got
exactly
Buckingham Palace.
I'm sure. Did they do like a promotional tour with the bus? You think?
Yeah, they did. Well, I think they did. I'm sure they
must have done.
I remember when
it makes absolute, you know, logistical sense.
Well, this is how like the film, when they originally said it was coming out, they arrived at speedboats in Cairns.
Hmm.
So Cairns Film Festival. Big massive festival.
Wow.
Spice Girls rock up in white suits to launch the fact that they are doing Spice World.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is like, you know what? That's kind of rock and roll.
And that's ballsy.
Yeah. Like, that is ballsy.
Girls with balls.
Because Cannes is a very, you know, hoity-toity affair.
Yeah.
Can be very, you know, what have you. As a film festival, it's very artsy. But the fact that they kind of rock up and just like, you know, we're doing a film. Suck it, Cannes, you know.
Yeah.
And then drive off.
And it was shown all over the world. Like, I did get, there's just a few little stats I got.
For yeah, sure.
Just, again, to put the film in context.
Yeah, sure.
It was released on Boxing Day here in the UK on the 26th of December. I remember going to see it at the cinema, actually.
I imagine that's a good tie for you know, Christmas number one as well.
Oh, yeah, because Too Much was their second video number one. So, yeah.
Cross promotion.
Yeah, exactly. Same time. 2 million opening weekend.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. What was the budget for the film? Do you know?
It wasn't a lot.
I can sort of tell.
I think.
If you look at the aliens, you can definitely tell.
I think it was like 200. Don't quote me on this again. Yeah. I think it was like 200,000 something, even less.
If we're wrong, guys, like message us.
Apologies.
Let us know.
Yeah. In America, it was released a bit later on. It was released more into the new year in 97. It was released over the Super Bowl weekend.
Okay, cool.
It made 10 million in America, and it broke records for the highest debut of a Super Bowl weekend film.
Wow, really?
But again, I mean, it's like...
That is huge.
That was the power of Spice World. Mm. Like, that was the power of the Spice Girls.
The power of Spice World. Amazing.
I mean, in today's context, it probably...
It's not the Marvel Cinematic Universe or anything, but it's something. I want to have a quick... I got actually, like, surprisingly, I got quite a few comments about this particular podcast.
Okay.
From a few people. So I'd like to read those out before we finish. Got a few minutes yet. So I'm just going to get that up on my phone. So I've got a message from Ben Fenlon. He is of the Super Nerds UK podcast, and he does For the Love of Horror, which is
cool.
An event coming up, and he does a Facebook Live. Really big fan of the show, and I'm a big fan of him. And Dan Burgess knows him quite well. He was on the last guest, so they've got a little friendship as well. So he says, Spice World is genuinely one of my favourite guilty pleasure films. It's campy, hilarious, has a good soundtrack, the casting is ace, and to be fair, it came out at the height of their success.
Yeah.
So it could have been a lot worse. When my band used to tour for our gig, for our rider, we requested a DVD copy of Spice World.
I love that.
So every show that we'd request this, we never got it once. We used to watch it backstage a lot on a laptop. Nothing says rock and roll like Michael Barrymore teaching the Spice Girls how to dance.
That's amazing. I love that.
That's amazing. What an amazing story. Thanks for that, Ben. That's a brilliant comment. And I have to agree with him. It is all of those things that he's described.
Again, it is a guilty pleasure. I mean, like, I think it didn't do very well in the Razzies.
No, probably not.
I think it actually did really well in the Razzies.
Yeah.
I think it cleaned up the house.
Cleaned out the Razzies. Fair enough. You know. But there's even some good films that have been included in the Razzies, so fair enough.
It's
but
an award.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think they're making that much money. They'd even bother to care. No. They wouldn't even care. So Dan Burgess, so I was just talking about him. He was on the show last week. He says, this was on Twitter. Ben's comment was on Facebook. So Dan says, I liked it in Wannabe when Ginger said, as for me, ha, you'll see. Then we saw her nudie nudes came out. Whoopee! We did seed it all.
Yeah, it's funny how you say that, because it wasn't Joey, but Mel B. If you watch the video, you can always see a nipple, because she wears this green booty.
Oh, right, yeah, right.
And I remember, I think it was my dad that said, he's like, you can see a nipple in the whole video. And I was like, and I always get drawn.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks for pointing that out. And you're ruining the Spice Girls. You're making them not innocent. But
the thing is, now I've said it, you'll all go and look, and you're all
nipple. We're all going to watch Wannabe. Yeah. Just look out for that nipple. One nipple. speaking of Super Bowls, reminds me of Janet Jackson,
Oh, yeah.
Nip slip.
Oh, don't get me started on Janet. I love Janet.
Maybe we could do a Janet Jackson film next.
Oh, my gosh. Janet Jackson film.
Yeah, I'm sure she's been in some films.
Has she?
Yeah.
Oh, films. Yeah, she's been in a few, actually. Yeah, not very good ones.
Well, we can always dive into your love of Janet via this film. Just like this podcast, I think. I think we spend more time. It's like, the film's fine.
Yeah.
So another comment on Facebook from Howard Whittock. I've always had a soft spot. So I generally on Facebook and Twitter, I've asked, you know, are you a fan? Do you have a favourite song? So these are all kind of responses from that question.
Yeah.
So I've always had a soft spot for Mel C, probably because she's from Liverpool. I think Howard might be originally from Liverpool. Not sure. Maybe. Tell me, Howard. Clarify it. But if you like Liverpudlians, then you're in. The last two comments are from Liverpudlians. So.
Again, we all have our favourites.
Exactly.
Mel C was a Scouse, so she was doing it for the Scousers.
Now, I'm keeping it in the family with this comment.
Oh, okay.
It is my sister, Sophie Brazier, on Instagram, at SophieB31, if you want to follow her. And Howard Whittock's on Facebook, and Dan Burgess is at DanBurgess01, and Ben Fenler is also on Facebook with Super Nerds UK, and For the Love of Horror, because I forgot to mention those. But Sophie says, you forget the Spice Girl posters and wallpaper I had along with the tapes and an outfit for Sporty Spice. #... Spice up your life.
Wallpaper.
Yeah, she had everything. She had it all. She had the video game. She had everything. So maybe that's my kind of, I kind of sort of absorbed it through my sister, I think. But it wasn't something I was going out of my way to fight. I did remember her going to see the film. And I think they invited me, and I was like, nah, I don't want to watch that shit.
No.
I'll wait another 20 years.
And tapes, even when you just say tapes nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Tapes.
Side A, cassettes. Side B.
You know, I was talking earlier about the girl I used to fancy and doing like the Spice Girl things. I wanted to do like a similar thing with like a boy group. And I wasn't really into music, so I bought a tape, and it was called... It's called Boys, Boys, Boys with a Z on it.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, and I think, you know, I think some of my parents might have thought I was going to come out.
Couldn't have been more, you'd be a homosexual.
Yes, I think that's what was happening. They also thought I watched The Little Mermaid too much, so maybe they thought I was going to come out as well. But no, I am straight, last time I checked, so. But yeah, that was, I wanted to do like a similar thing to kind of like...
Boys with a Z.
Yeah, it was all just boy bands, flashing a boy band, like three tapes or something. Cassettes, guys. Tapes are, you know, we used to... You imagine rewinding music.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Instead of just skipping and skipping back?
Yeah, because it had used to have on the cassette, you said the time that each song was.
Yeah, that's right. You had to forward it to the exact time, and then you had to get like a little pencil in there.
If the tape came out.
Yeah, unreeled, you know. It's
like, I used to love CDs and tapes because I used to love that thing, again, like getting an album.
Yeah.
And having the cover and looking at the pictures and then learning the lyric.
Yeah, exactly. I used to love that.
And then
as
all
well.
The artists used to have a little bio and stuff.
And you had all sorts of facts and figures and stuff. I used to like to go into like HMV and what have you and like find stuff.
Yeah, you know, like, I miss the days of rooting.
Yeah, like you find a film, you're like, oh, this sounds interesting. I'll get this.
I feel like we should bring them back. When we've had records. Yeah. I definitely think we now need cassettes.
I think cassettes are coming back. I heard somebody said something the other day to me that cassettes are coming back. I think Dan last week on the podcast said they might be. So we'll see.
Bring back cassettes, guys.
Yeah. So that's all the comments. I think we've said all we can about Spice World with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, I think we'd talk more about my feelings of the Spice Girls because There isn't much to say about Spider-Man apart from it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I think it's if you're looking for some campy, very 90s, very British English fun and silliness, and you're a fan of the Spice Girls, or you like at least like the music, give it a watch. Some great actors in it. There's some funny moments. There's some not so great moments in it as well. But generally, it's definitely not the worst film I've ever seen, without a doubt. But I've had a lot of fun with this. I'm really glad I had you on. I'd like to have you on again in the future. We'll talk about something, another film, or if you just let me know what you want to chat about.
You could just hear more about my life.
Yeah. just the biography of Gary.
Yeah, my biography is coming out in stores. I got an album coming out.
Save that for your own podcast.
ITs, I don't have any.
No problem. Well, I'm just going to let people know where they can find us on the social medias. So you can find this podcast and the page on Facebook at Secret Balls. Type that into the search bar. On Twitter at Dan_Balls. Instagram, it's Spider Dan Secret Balls, all one word. And the podcast is available on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. So, a lot of places. Thank you very much for coming, guys. This has been really fun. I'm glad you took the time to come over and talk about Spice Girls, Jerry, and Spice World.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.